Last week we spoke about how God is exclusive. That He has many attributes, and that is one of them. This week, I'd like to speak to you about how God is an inclusive God. It's going to seem like a conundrum. How can God be exclusive and inclusive at the same time? I want us to remember that you cannot put God in a box. You can't say that God is this way and that's who He is all the time. Unless you put Him in the box that says holy. Because God is holy all the time. He is a holy, holy, holy God. And when He is exclusive, He's holy. When He is executing judgment, He's holy. When He is demonstrating great mercy, He's holy. When He is dispensing justice, He's holy. When He declares the end from the beginning, He's holy. When He is exclusive, He's holy. And when He is inclusive, He's still holy. Now we've got when I started thinking about how God is inclusive, I didn't really think that I would have a whole lot, you know, just a little loaf and a little fish maybe. The more I got thinking about this, the more inclusive it became. And I want us to remember, I want to start out in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I want to read this. In verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. You remember we spoke several weeks on how the areas that Paul did not want us to be ignorant in last year. And this is one of them. Paul wants us to remember how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now he's writing this to a church. And he's talking about the fathers and the children of Israel. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. How many of them was it? All of them. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You see how Paul connected Christ and them children of Israel in the Old Testament. You see how he did that. How that they benefited from the rock. And Paul says that rock was Christ. All of them were under the cloud. All of them were baptized in the sea. All of them ate and all of them drank. That spiritual drink and spiritual meat. Now that's inclusive of every one of the exclusive ones. Every one of them that God had set apart did this, had this done to them, partook of it. And the very next verse, though, and I don't want to get into this much, but I don't want us to remember, I want us to remember that with, he says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. And we know why they were overthrown. It was because of unbelief.
Right.
Now, did all of them pass through the cloud? Did all of them pass through the sea? Were all of them eating and all of them drinking? And they all ate and drank the same thing, didn't they? God is inclusive. He included every one of that chosen nation to benefit the blessings like this. Now, I want to go back to, so we're talking about the Jewish, the Israelites, the Israelite nation on earth. In Leviticus, this is the chapter that talks about the Day of Atonement. That one day that God set apart, I believe it was in the seventh month, 10th day or 10th day, 7th, 10th month, 7th day, I can't remember. Where Aaron, the high priest, would go in one time and first make an offering for himself so that he would be clean enough to do a sacrifice for the people, the atoning sacrifice, when he took the goat in there and well, there were two goats actually. One of them was the sacrifice for the congregation, and the other one was the scapegoat. People use that term and have no idea that it's a Bible term. That's why the whole reason why we use scapegoat is because of this right here. But that priest went in one time into the most holy place after having sacrificed that goat. And I want to read in verse 17, Leviticus 16 and 17, "And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel." Who was that sacrifice for? That sacrifice was for all the household of Israel. It was for all of those that were exclusive to God. Every one of them were included in this atoning sacrifice. Every one of them. Now that's the children of Israel. And I want you to think about you, and I want you to imagine that you were in that exclusive group of being an Israelite. Back then, you grew up and you knew that God's favor was upon you. You knew that God had given you laws and expected you to live a certain way because you're special in His eyes. And I want you to remember that, or I want you to think about that you were of this nation and God had blessed you. And I want you to think about how strong that teaching would become to you, and that you would teach your sons and daughters, and they would teach their sons and daughters for generations. And then I want you to think about how strong that teaching would become and how solidly it would be in your mind after having been told that for generations and generations and generations. And then Jesus comes along. And he sends the 12 out and commands them and tells them, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. God was still excluded the people of the Gentiles, but he included every one of the blessings to the people of his of the Israelites. He said, you just go preach this word to my people. And then Jesus, by his own words, said, I want you, he says, I am not come, but to, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now this is big. This is a lot of stuff. I want us to get it. Don't forget, you're an Israelite. Don't forget, you have this for, and this is to you and to you alone. Now, let's turn over there. It's in Matthew chapter 15. I want to spend a little bit of time over here, although I've got a lot of other places to get to. Matthew chapter 15. Let's read about this Canaanite woman where Jesus talked about. Now this is in 15 and 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan. She's a Canaanitish woman. She's not an Israelite. Came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She declared him as Lord, and not only that, but that he was the son of David. How'd she know that? My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. That means she was bad sick. But he answered her not a word. He was silent to her. And I think he was silent because he was waiting to see how his disciples would respond to her. Now, listen to this. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. She doesn't have part nor lot in this matter. That's what the disciples said. Listen to what Jesus said. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Do you know that Jesus, using the terms that were in use in that day by the Jews, that they called anyone that was not an Israelite a dog. So you're an Israelite, and you know this. You know that. That if you see somebody walking down the road, you say, and she's not an Israelite, you say, that dog over there. You're used to calling people dogs if they're not like you. If they're not part of that blessed favor that God had bestowed upon you and your nation. They're dogs. And Jesus says, it's not right or fit. It's not meet for me to take the children's bread and give it unto dogs. You know, even in some of the writings, the Jewish writings, where they're talking about this concept of the dogs. They said that the children sit at meat at the king's table and throw the bones to the dogs. But if as long as they're in favor with the king, this matters. As long as they're in favor with the king, they eat. But if they do not please the king, then the king will take their meal and give it to the dogs and send them to bed on an empty stomach. You ever went to bed hungry? My mama sent me to bed hungry several times and gave my food to the dogs. Let's think about if you as a Jew were not pleasing the master, the king, would he take your food and give it to a dog? A dog. Let's see what Jesus did. I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. I think this is one of the most beautiful expressions in all the Bible. This woman is admitting freely that she is what he said she was. She is a dog. And she says, yet as a dog, I still eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I know that I'm not an Israelite. I know that I'm not in well favor as far as being a natural Jew or a natural Israelite, but yet I still eat the crumbs as a dog. And I still recognize God as my master. Let's see what happens next. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Even in this, we see a beginning, an unfolding of some inclusive things that Jesus is going to do. Even though he was sent to the, not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel by means of being a prophet, he and the gospel was not preached to the Gentiles while Jesus was living. Yet he still was a blessing to some of the dogs. When Jesus was here, the only ones that were included in the gospel were the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But there came a time when God said, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Include them too. Include them too in this great news that you've heard. Some of the parables talked about it. You remember? About them that were bidden to the wedding, but they didn't come. Because they said, I've bought some land over here, or I've got a wife, and I did this. And then he sent the servants again, and they beat them, and then he sent them again. And then he says, you go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that were not bidden to the feast, to the marriage supper. I see here that God, even though this wasn't a little group, but compared to the whole world, it was a little group of people of the Israelites were the only ones that were included in the blessings of understanding His Word, or having His Word, having the prophets. Now Jesus told them at the beginning, said, don't go into the world and to the Gentiles, but then after His resurrection, He says, go ye into all the world and preach this gospel. Include them too. To every creature. Now let's turn over to Acts chapter 10. We're going to find out about one of the first times, or the first time that this happened. We know the story. I hope you know the story. This is about Peter. He got hungry. And while his wife was fixing him something to eat, he went up on top of the roof, on top of the house. And he came in a trance. And it said, rise, Peter, slay and eat. And then he says, no, Lord, I can't eat of... And there was a sheet let down and had all manner of unclean beasts in it. When I think about this, I think about pigs. I think about catfish. I think about bugs. I think about all skunks. All different kind of nasty armadillos. All different kind of nasty things that was forbidden for a Jew to eat, for an Israelite to eat. And I see Peter saying to God, God told him, arise, Peter, slay and eat. And Peter says, I'm not going to eat that catfish. I'm not going to eat that pig because nothing common or unclean has ever entered into my mouth. And God, that happened three times. And God told Peter, call not that thou common that which I have cleansed. God's telling Peter, if I've made it clean and it's okay for you to eat. And boy, Peter understood from that. Said, God's no respecter of persons. God's not just a respecter of people that are Israelites. You're not as high and mighty as you think you are, Israelite. You're not, you don't have a monopoly on God, you Israelite. I'm talking about you, you know, because y'all are Israelites, right? You've been born that way. Raised up and all that, to told that you were special. God made some other special folks too. Then he goes and he saw a vision. God told him, you go down to Joppa to a man. Told Cornelius, you send men to Joppa. And you go bring Peter. You inquire about one Peter and you tell him to come over here. Now I want you to remember, this man's a dog. In your eyes, this Cornelius is a dog. You remember that. And then he says, and he took some folks with him. And he says in verse, he tells him, or Peter asked him, why did you send for me? In verse 30, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and in the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore, listen to this, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. You think that brother wanted to hear something about God? Yeah, I do. I do. Then let's see what Peter says. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. But in every nation, not just the Jewish nation or the Israelite nation, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." God is inclusive. He's not just keeping this thing to Israelites. He's opening it up to all men everywhere. As a phrase that Paul used, all men everywhere. He says that the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, and Peter says, "He is Lord of all." That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and begun from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth the Holy Ghost with the Holy Ghost and with power, and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. Who is this? Whosoever, not just the Jews, but whosoever believeth on him. Can a wicked man believe on Jesus Christ as the Son of God? No, he cannot. We know that. God's exclusive that way. But he's inclusive because he's opened this up. Not just to the Jewish folks, he's opened it up to me and you. To the whole world. Listen to this. This is amazing to me. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! The Holy Ghost was poured out. And the gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out on the Gentiles. And thank God, that's the first time that that ever happened on earth.
That's right.
And we sit here today as a direct result of that beginning of including the whole world of the Gentiles in the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that Cornelius was spiritually perceptive and in faith went on and did what God told him to do? Aren't you glad that Peter was obedient to God even though it was contrary to his natural nature to have any kind of dealings with a dog, that he would go at the command of God to a dog's house and preach that child of God the Word of God? I tell you what, God's not a respecter of persons. He never has been. He never will be. I tell you, this is beautiful. For they heard him speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. You know, that's beautiful to me. I love that. Every nation that fears him. Now, he says in Acts 15 and 8. Let's turn over a few pages. I thought I might get done with this, but I don't think I will. 15 and 8. Well, we'll go to 15 and 7. I tell you what. This is a difficult thing to get. They were talking about circumcision. And, I mean, the people that were Christian, that were believers of the Jews, wanted to try to put circumcision on everybody, on the Gentiles even. And they went up and had a dispute about the matter. And then in verse 7, in 15 and 7, "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." Do you know, as a Jew, as an Israelite, faith wasn't that big of a deal to you because you were the chosen nation, right? But Paul says that that is a big deal. It always was a big deal. He says Abraham had faith before he was circumcised. Are y'all following this? I hope you are. Because they were not a nation yet, were they? Abraham wasn't a... He was a Gentile till God set him apart. There was not a nation of Israel until Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had the 12 sons, and Jacob was the one that God changed his name to Israel. Israel was not in existence when Abraham was alive, and that's why Paul goes all the way back to Abraham and says Abraham had faith, and everybody that has had faith, like Father Abraham, is counted up for the seed. Everybody's in them. It's not about your nation, Israel. It's about faith. And God brought it to them first, and then he opened it up to the Gentiles. Aren't you glad? You know, Peter says, they've received the Holy Ghost just like we have. Just like we have. I want you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, to know some things. I want in... He says, purifying their hearts by faith. You don't have to have a pedigree of being an Israelite to know that you're favored by God.
Right.
What you do need and what you do have to make that certified to you and your mind is the faith that comes from God. That's what you need. That's what certifies you. You know, faith, God don't give us faith so that we'll be able to be His sons. God gives us faith so that we'll know what God already knows. Right? God knows all this stuff. And you know, and how do we get faith? You don't just go to the store and buy it. You can't just pray a prayer and get it. You can't ask somebody to have faith for you or to give it to you. Faith comes by being born again by the Holy Spirit. It is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's how you get it. You know? And you can learn more about that by hearing and learn more about how to use it by hearing the Word of God. God is inclusive. He's included a lot of people in this. It's not just the Jews. Ephesians 2 and 14. I'm going to hasten on. Ephesians 2 and 14. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Don't you like that? He broke down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain, that means two, one new man. You know what He's talking about right there? That's a lot of words to say that you're not excluded as a Gentile anymore. He took the thing that separated you from the Jew, from the Israelites, that middle wall of partition. You know, when we go to stores, we have those partitions that separate us from the tellers now, don't we? We have that. Well, that was a whole lot bigger of what separated Israel from everybody else, that partition. God has taken that thing down and out of the way. He abolished it by Christ.
Right.
And He opened it up to you and to me. I love that. But I can't get off onto it. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. He took that thing that separated not only us from the Jews, but us from God. And He slain that enmity by the cross, the thing that separated us, the partition. He broke it down, tore it down. You know, I was blessed to live in a time, and I think of a good portion of us were. Y'all remember watching Ronald Reagan say, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." You remember all those, seeing the images of all those people getting over there and all those people being free, being freed, chipping away at that wall with hammers and sledgehammers and axes and stuff like that, so that they wouldn't be separated anymore. You know, Jesus did that. But He didn't need a sledgehammer to do it. It took His blood.
Right.
His blood did it. Separated. Took that wall of separation down. It's not about being a national Jew. Let's listen to how more inclusive God is. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, he says, "We, by one Spirit, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Boy, that's inclusive, isn't it? That's inclusive. Hey, he talks about the same thing. In Galatians 3 and 28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." You know, males don't have a monopoly on the service of God or the Spirit of God, neither females don't. It's open to all of them. It's open to Jews and Gentiles, Greek, whatever nationality you are, whatever gender you are, whatever your skin color is, whatever your IQ is, whatever thing that would separate you from somebody else in this world, Jesus Christ broke down that middle wall of partition, and we're all one in Christ Jesus. I love that, don't you? God is inclusive to all people, all different kinds of people. Now he says, Jesus, when he prayed in John 17, 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. He's talking about a oneness with himself. You start studying about this and it will blossom like a flower and it'll spread like kudzu. I tell you, Romans 4 and 16, we talked about Abraham. I want us to get this. I'm almost done. Romans 4 and 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. That's inclusive, isn't it? Yep. That it might be sure to all the seed, not that only which is of the law or the Israelite, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, Jews and Gentiles, not just Jews, not just Israelites. Do y'all see, is that make you rejoice that this is a the all-encompassing power of God to take all of the seed that He gave Him, I mean Christ, that Jesus, when He died on the cross, He made every one of the seed sure. And it's not about what color you are, what religion you are. Amen? Amen? It's not about what your religion is. God cares about what you believe, but it's not about what religion you are. It's not about what gender you are, what nationality you are. It's all about faith. Having that seed of faith that God implants in you by the Holy Spirit, that is the tail. That is the tail. I tell you, God is inclusive. I love that. I want to take you to one other place. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5. We know about this, and I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written with, in, and on the backside sealed with seven seals, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. God's still exclusive, isn't he? He excluded men from being able to open this book. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. One. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And listen to this. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Who did he redeem to God? Let's find out. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I tell you, I like that, don't you? For had not God included the Gentiles, He couldn't say this. He couldn't say that out of every nation, that means every nation. You know there's 200 something nations in this world right now. Do you know that out of every nation, He's got a people? He's got some people in every nation. Not only that, He's got some in every kindred. You know what? I've got some kin folks. You got some kin folks. Everybody's got kin folks. Y'all know what that means? That means people that are of your own bloodline. And there's a bunch of different kin folks in this world. Out of every one of the kin folk, He's got. And not only that, but if you want to delineate out by languages, there's more languages than there are nations in this country. I mean, in this world. There's some languages that are lost and nobody speaks them anymore. Out of those languages, God has a people there. God is inclusive. From the time that Adam was created until the time when He blows the trumpet and says no more, out of every tongue and nation and kindred and people, God has a people and has redeemed some out of every one of those groups all throughout time. It's not just exclusive to the Israelites. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God's more powerful than that. Boy, I tell you what, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You know, I can't remember. I think Obey said there was 97 languages or something like that spoken in Africa on that one continent. He rejoiced to know that God had a people in every one of them. I'm going to tell you about a language y'all might not have heard. I work with kids. Some of them. And they can't speak. Some of them. They just talk. They just babble. I mean, as adults, I can't understand what they say. Nobody, even their parents, can't understand what they say. But you know, that's a language that only God knows.
Right.
And He's got a people in that language too. Praise be to God that He's an inclusive God. Praise His name today. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer. The doors of church are open for reception of members. May the Lord bless you. To be kind to people that are not like you. Amen.